700 years before the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world and finally died upon the cross of Calvary outside the walls of Jerusalem, Isaiah the prophet predicted exactly what would happen and how to understand and interpret this stupendous event. It wasn't just a tragedy, a good man dying for a worthy cause, a victim, a helpless victim of circumstances over which he had no control. No, Isaiah put it this way, by the Holy Spirit's inspiration. Isaiah 52:13, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently." In other words, he'll be a success, not a failure. It's a victory, not a tragedy. "He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high," anticipating, of course, his bodily resurrection from the dead, his ascension to the right hand of the Father, and his exaltation above the whole universe. And Isaiah 53 then picks up the whole life of Christ on earth leading up to the great work he accomplished when he died upon the cross. Here was one who was born in order to die. Not that he had sin to pay for of his own, because he was sinless. Not because he had lost his deity while he was on the cross and the Father turned away from him. No, he was the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. And during those amazing 3 hours, from noon till 3 p.m. on that cross, the last three of the 6 hours that Jesus was crucified, amazing things happened to demonstrate that he was still 100% God as well as 100% human, and thus a perfect sacrifice for the sins of the entire human race. We read, for example, in Matthew chapter 27, verse 45, "From the sixth hour," that's noon, "there was darkness over all the land to the ninth hour." It was those last 3 hours that Christ, the Son of God, the eternal Son, the unique Son, God's only Son, paid the price of sin that none of us could ever pay for ourselves. Yes, darkness was over the land until the ninth hour, till 3 p.m. That was God's way of saying, for the sake of mankind in their sin, I've temporarily turned away from my Son. And Christ acknowledged that his Father had turned away from him, because he became sin, not a sinner, not sinful. He became sin, judicially reckoned to be sin, though he was sinless, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so we read in verse 46 of Matthew 27, "About the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that's Aramaic, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And some thought he was crying for Elijah, Eli, because, of course, the Old Testament ends, doesn't it, with a prophecy that before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, God will send Elijah the prophet, and he indeed will come before Christ returns to establish his kingdom. But notice what happened. Immediately, when Jesus cried with a loud voice, as the Gospel of John records what he said, "It is finished, tetelestai. The work for which I came into the world has been accomplished. It is done. It is paid. The price has been paid." He yielded up the ghost. That is, he yielded up his human spirit in death. And at that moment, to symbolize, signify, confirm to the whole human race, to the Jewish people, to the Roman soldiers, that something of cosmic significance happened. Watch what happened. Number one, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. That thick fabric was ripped by supernatural power. The way to God was now symbolically opened, as the book of Hebrews explains. Number two, the earth did quake. It's as if the whole earth is responding, reacting to the awesome events that happened on that cross. The rocks were rent or torn open, split. Graves were open. And many people who had died walked around Jerusalem after Jesus rose from the dead 3 days later, giving testimony, obviously, to the fact that something stupendous had happened. Yes, and when the centurion, that hardened Roman soldier, that officer, and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done and feared greatly, saying, this truly was the Son of God. Now, when Jesus paid that price for our sins, yours and mine, friend, that we could never pay, and cried out to that effect, it is finished, he meant, it is finished. There's nothing more you and I can do to pay for our sin, to earn salvation by human merit and works and efforts and energy, which is characteristic of most religions in the whole world today, that we somehow have to contribute, somehow have to participate in a work that only the Son of God could do. The book of Isaiah warns us against that attitude, doesn't it? Yes, it says in Isaiah 53:11, he shall see, Jesus, the Messiah, the servant of the Lord, the perfect one, shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. There's nothing more to be done. His sacrifice cannot be reoffered. It cannot be paid for by us. No. He's satisfied. And my question, friend, for you is, I must constantly ask, am I satisfied? Are you satisfied that the work was done? The price is paid. It's only for us to receive the gift. As John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, just simply believe, take that gift as a finished work, shall not perish, go to hell, but shall have right now, before you even die, you'll have the assurance of everlasting life. Now, no man-made religion on this planet can match the assurance of salvation that God makes available through the finished work of Christ, confirmed, of course, 3 days later by his resurrection from the dead. We know from the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 3, that he is confirmed to be the Son of God with power by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus said, if you want to know who I am and by what authority I speak, then destroy this temple, the temple of my body, and in 3 days I'll raise it again. Which was, of course, deliberately misunderstood by the Jews who hated him, that they took it in crass literalism that he was going to destroy Herod's temple. No, even greater than Herod's temple is the temple of his body, broken down in death on the cross, the cruel cross, but raised again. He raised up his own body, the Bible says. The power of his resurrection, death could not hold him. And so the resurrection of Christ from the dead is the proof that his work was finished, that he was who he claimed to be. Yes, the infinite eternal one, the sinless one, the God-man, one person with two natures, divine and human, forever joined together, one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. And so, friend, as we think about what really happened on that cross, we say, well, thank you, God, you even predicted through Isaiah 2,700 years ago in that marvelous 53rd chapter that it was your will to crush him. Verse 10, it pleased the Lord, it was his will to bruise him. He, God the Father, put him to grief. And when you make his soul an offering for sin, he, Jesus, the Messiah, the servant, will see his seed, he will see his offspring, and that's you and I if we believe in him. Number two, he shall prolong his days. He will, in other words, live in resurrection glory forever and ever. He said, I am he that lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And thirdly, the pleasure, the will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. The hand of the God-man now glorified is the only hand into which the Father can safely entrust the eternal destiny of human beings made in his image and likeness. And what an awesome thing it is to think of the cross of Christ. It's not just some symbol hanging over somebody's neck or erected on top of a church building. Friends, it is the reality of how God met his infinite demand, you see, for holiness by a perfect sacrifice, which we are simply invited graciously by God's mercy and love to accept and to believe and to rest upon forever. And so we don't have to work, labor, strive, hope that we can someday merit God's salvation. No, we can say, thank you, God, for that marvelous gift that you provided for us, that we might simply believe what Jesus said when he said, "It is finished." What is finished? The purpose for which he came into the world, namely to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Friend, you and I need him. We need him now. We need him and his finished work in his glorified body in heaven, his resurrection body, forever.